Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today, I want to encourage you, as you make your summer travel plans, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. It's a real simple way that you can support the program. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so you get the same advantages of going to Priceline. But if you do find a good bargain there, either by naming your own price or choosing from all the great published fares they have at JohnnyDollarAir.com, part of your purchase goes to help support the show at no additional cost to you. So remember, JohnnyDollarAir.com. Now we continue on with part 3 and part 4 of the Lansing Fraud Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Arlene Kennedy. You called my home, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Kennedy. I'm with Universal Adjustment Bureau. We're investigating the matter of James Lansing's death. We're investigating your brother's death before we take action on your claim as his beneficiary. Under the circumstances, we have to do this, Mrs. Kennedy. I'd like to talk to you about it, if I may.
How would you like to talk to my lawyer, Mr. Dollar?
Sure, if you think it's necessary. I'd rather talk to you first.
Why?
Well, frankly, the insurance company isn't satisfied that this is a legitimate claim.
You mean you're not satisfied?
All right, then I'm not satisfied, and I represent the company in this matter. Look, we won't get anywhere this way, Mrs. Kennedy, if you'll just...
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Tucson, Arizona, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. $50,000 worth. Expense account continued. Item 6, $10, car rental, to get to Catalina Vista, where Arlene Kennedy maintained a $55,000 home. It was a warm, sunny day, incredibly clear. I enjoyed it in my drive. However, I can't say I enjoyed Arlene Kennedy.
That's as far as you need to come.
What?
You must be the Mr. Dollar I spoke to on the phone. If you didn't get the idea on the phone, I'll tell it to you again. I don't want to talk to you. Now, please get away from my home.
We'll have to talk sometime.
I don't think so.
I know so, Mrs. Kennedy.
I must ask you to take your briefcase and get out of here, Mr. Dollar, now.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Look, my brother Jim drank himself to death. I don't know why. I just know he did it. He's dead. I'm his beneficiary. Why don't you pay me what you owe me?
We will, Mrs. Kennedy, if the circumstances are right. So far, though, we have reasonable doubt. And this investigation is for your benefit as much as it is ours.
I can hardly believe that.
When we've satisfied ourselves, one way or the other, your claim will be settled.
The whole situation's cut and dry.
I'm afraid it isn't.
Mr. Dollar, I've had enough of this. I'll turn the matter over to my attorneys.
Mrs. Kennedy... I don't carry this briefcase to impress anybody, but I thought it might interest you. I have in it a copy of the physical examination your brother took 2 years ago when he applied for his insurance policy. I have a copy of the coroner's report and the results of the autopsy.
I don't care what you have.
Then maybe you'd just be interested in the conclusion. We have to discredit one item or the other. That's why we can't take any action on your claim yet. Goodbye.
Wait. What is it you want to know? I haven't seen my brother in well over 2 years. 3 years. I can't tell you a thing about him.
Were you on good terms with him?
Of course I was. I was the only one he had in the world. He left me his insurance money, didn't he?
Did he leave you anything else?
He didn't have anything else.
I understand there was a trust in the family.
He spent his a long time ago.
I understand you're a widow, Mrs. Kennedy.
I don't see what bearing that has.
Do you have any dependents?
No children, that's what you mean.
The money from the policy would have gone to you alone.
Let me correct you. The money will come to me alone. I don't know what you people think you can do trying to weasel out of this payment, but I've already spoken with my attorneys, and they've advised me to sue for an immediate settlement and damages.
Perhaps I can save you some fees and your attorney some time, Mrs. Kennedy. Where can I contact them?
Never mind. You'll find out soon enough.
I hope you won't allow them to go so far as a courtroom without speaking to me.
We'll see about that, too. I don't need your advice.
Now, look, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'd tell them. You can pass it on to them. Your brother could have died quietly in his bed one night, and any doctor would have pronounced him a heart failure, and your claim would have been honored without delay. But James Lansing made the mistake of dropping dead on a public street, and the police took over, and before he was properly identified, an autopsy had been performed.
And I intend to sue the city for that kind of liberty. They had no right to...
They had every right. An unknown man dead on the street from unknown causes. Now, don't be childish. Because of that autopsy, we know your brother couldn't possibly have passed an insurance examination 2 years ago or 10 years ago. Not with the amount of bad health he'd collected.
But he did pass it. The insurance company accepted him as a client. They issued a policy, and you can't deny it. Jim came to me the day after he took out that policy and told me I was his beneficiary.
You said you hadn't seen him for well over 2 years. He took the exam a year ago last July.
All right, I saw him that one time.
Look, I'll lay it right on the line, Mrs. Kennedy. We don't think your brother ever took that physical examination.
What?
Someone else went up to Dr. Mayhood's office and took it for him. Someone who could pass it. Mrs. Kennedy, we aren't fools, and we don't like to be fooled. Now, we're going to find out who that someone was and how it was done. We're used to all sorts of tricks in this business and all sorts of bluffing, too. You can sue us for a settlement. You can sue us all over the place. With what I have right now, I'd be willing to meet you in a courtroom. I'm talking facts to you, Mrs. Kennedy, and I wish you'd talk them to me.
Get out of here. Get out of here, you cheap snooper, before I call the police and have you thrown out.
Some more expenses. Item 7, $6, lunch, for Jim Carter and myself.
You'll pass the cream, Johnny. Thanks.
Well, what do you think, Jim?
Mrs. Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. She's going to make it as tough as she can for us, judging from her attitude toward you this morning.
How does the commission feel?
Well, they feel very badly that something like this has come up. They've requested us to act with discretion and to act swiftly. They're certain the entire matter can be settled without legal action. Would you pass the sugar, please?
Uh-huh. Aren't they going to cooperate?
They're not going to do anything until we show cause. They did mention that their action will take place in 10 days, so that means we've got 10 days to write such a statement.
Tell me what you've learned about Mrs. Kennedy.
Well, she was widowed 5 years ago. Her husband was a lawyer. He left her $40,000 in insurance and $15,000 in debts. Her family, the Lansings, had money at one time. Enough so that she gets 0.5% of 1% of an oil company out on the coast. It pays her about $750 a month. She managed to clear her house out in Catalina Vista and drive a Cadillac.
But she could use $50,000.
Of course she could use $50,000. Everybody could. Johnny, when are you going to start on the insurance agent?
Hillary Franks? I've already started. If I know my Mrs. Kennedy, she won't call a lawyer or anybody else right now. She'll talk to her agent, Mr. H. Franks, and he'll have to come to us. I don't have to go to him.
Johnny...
When you buy a radio and it goes bad, you call up the store. They didn't manufacture the set, but you complain to them just the same. Same thing with insurance. You don't call up the company, you call up the agent who sold it to you. Hillary Frank has to call me, Jim, just to look legitimate.
I hope you're right, kiddo.
After lunch, I went back to my hotel room and opened up the file Jim Carter had collected on Hillary Franks. Hillary Franks, age 56, college graduate, married, 2 children, wife deceased, income good. No record of any kind for any offense. Highly thought of by worldwide insurance officials. The 17 years with the company sort of got me. He started as an agent when he was 39.
This is Hillary Franks, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, sir.
I understand you're in town on a little investigation for the Home Office. I wonder if we could have dinner.
As a matter of fact, I was going to call you, Mr. Franks. The policy I'm working on was written by you.
Yes, I understand that. Mrs. Kennedy, the beneficiary, called me today. Seemed very upset. I thought perhaps we could discuss it over dinner.
Anything wrong with right now at your office?
Why, not a thing.
Thank you. I suppose you're a Mr. Dollar.
Yes.
Maria, that's my secretary. She's already gone for the day. I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
Mr. Hillary Franks looked straight life insurance from the top of his iron gray hair to the tips of his polished brown shoes. He had a quiet manner about him and a pair of large brown eyes that looked wide open and honest.
Come in. Come in, Mr. Dollar. Thank you very much for coming over. I was surprised when Mrs. Kennedy called me about this matter today. Surprised to learn that you were in town.
Were you?
She said you'd been over to her home this morning.
That's right.
Well, just what is this all about?
We have reason to believe Mrs. Kennedy is a party to an attempted fraud, Mr. Franks.
I gathered it was something like that. I've been writing policies for Worldwide Insurance for 17 years, Mr. Dollar. And this is the first time anything like this has ever happened on one of them.
I believe you, Mr. Franks, and your record. But there's a first time for everything. I'm here to find out all I can about the circumstances under which you sold the policy to Mrs. Kennedy's brother.
Well, nothing unusual about it, Mr. Dollar.
I think there was.
Eh?
James Lansing was a bachelor. He lived in a fairly nice apartment on the other side of town. No dependents. Now, what made James Lansing a prospect for life insurance, Mr. Franks?
Well, it's more of a personal thing, really, I suppose. My wife and I were interested in buying a home a couple of years ago. It was one we liked in Catalina Vista. The real estate agent happened to be James Lansing. That's how we first became acquainted.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Franks and I saw Lansing, two or three times. Had dinner together, you know. And I managed to sell him the policy.
I understood he was an engineer.
He had been at one time in Los Angeles. And he was only engaged in the real estate business here for a very short time. Really a matter of a few months.
I see. Did he do very well at it?
I don't think so. I don't think he worked hard at it. You see, he had a fairly comfortable income from money left by his father.
You didn't buy the house from him?
No.
Too much?
No. Mrs. Franks died rather suddenly about that time, and I had no need to buy a home.
But out of the association, you interested Lansing in buying insurance from you?
Yes.
What kind of a man was he?
What do you mean?
Well, just your opinion, Mr. Franks.
Well, just a client, Mr. Dollar. I looked at him and treated him just the same as any other client.
But you saw him socially several times, had dinner with him. Do you do that with all your clients?
I might. I remember he was trying to sell me something, too.
Ah, sure. How'd he look?
What?
Pale, thin, emaciated, what?
Oh, he looked fine to me.
Did he drink much?
Well, I don't recall.
Think. It's important.
Well, I don't recall.
Then I'll recall for you, Mr. Franks. Lansing did drink a lot on those occasions. As a matter of fact, he was soaked up most of the time.
Oh, now that's not true, Mr. Dollar.
You know as well as I do, he was an alcoholic in Los Angeles, and he was an alcoholic here in Tucson. He died of malnutrition, a direct result of his alcoholic condition.
Well, I'm not a doctor. I had no way of ascertaining that.
You don't have to be a doctor to smell booze, Mr. Franks. Did you ever meet his beneficiary?
You mean his sister, Mrs. Kennedy? No. I think I told you she telephoned me today.
Never met her at all?
No.
Mr. Franks, I'm going to leave you for a while, and I want you to think about all we've discussed. When I come back, I might ask you the same questions again. And I'll expect some different answers.
Anything you say, Mr. Dollar.
Hillary Franks, 17 years insurance broker, was a bad liar. He was worse than that. He was a stupid, awkward, unprepared liar with no idea of what he was up against. He knew I was going to get him and get him good, and he didn't know what to do about it. I almost felt sorry for him. Johnny Dollar.
Jim Carter, Johnny.
Hi.
How'd you make out with Hillary Franks, the agent who sold the policy?
He's worried, he's scared, and he's already doing everything wrong. I left him about an hour ago to think things over.
Mrs. Kennedy's fighting back.
What do you mean?
Her lawyer served notice on us an hour ago to pay up on the policy or else.
Just a bluff.
Yeah, but this wasn't. She got a court order and made the coroner release her brother's body. She took it right to the crematorium. Exhibit A is a pile of ashes by now.
Uh-oh.
Her next step is to contact the State Insurance Commission and have them order us to pay off or show cause. We'll have to act fast.
Maybe I better go back to see Mr. Hillary Franks. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Tucson, Arizona, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. $50,000. And by now I was sure it was fraud. Expense account, item number 8, $5, stenographic services. I dictated a hastily composed letter to the State Insurance Commission advising them that Worldwide was withholding payment on the claim of Mrs. Arlene Kennedy pending a complete investigation of the circumstances of her brother's death. I enclosed copies of the original physical examination and the coroner's autopsy findings, pointing out that in our opinion it was impossible for James Lansing to have successfully passed an insurance examination in the first place. I enclosed copies of statements from the examining physician, Dr. Mayhood, and the members of his office staff, all of whom were unable to identify the body of James Lansing. Expense account item 9, 52 cents, postage. I sent the letter to the state capitol special delivery in the hope it would arrive there before Mrs. Kennedy's lawyers took the anticipated action. After that, I drove back over to the office of Hillary Franks. He was the same as I left him an hour before. A little shaken, but still unable to realize quite what was happening.
Yes, Mr. Dollar?
Mr. Franks, I wonder if you've got anything to say to me.
Nothing, Mr. Dollar.
I was hoping you might want to make a statement.
Oh? About what?
Mrs. Kennedy's attempting to defraud your insurance company?
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Dollar. I sold her brother an insurance policy. I don't even know Mrs. Kennedy.
There are a lot of things about this you say you don't know. You want me to lay it on the line?
If you like.
All right. Someone else had to take that physical examination for James Lansing 2 years ago. I think you arranged for someone to do it, or you helped Mrs. Kennedy arrange it. I think James Lansing was insured on that basis. I think he was insured with a clean intent to defraud. Lansing's health wouldn't permit that kind of insurance. Right now, our Los Angeles men are looking into Lansing's activities there. Somewhere along the line, they're going to turn up a medical history that'll show Lansing was already dying when he came to Arizona 2 years ago. Now, do you have anything to say, Mr. Franks?
No.
I think you're being very foolish. If it isn't clear how serious this can be with you, it's noted that you arranged for Lansing's physical examination.
There's nothing incriminating in that.
How well do you know Dr. Mayhood?
Oh, slightly. The physician is supposed to be an impartial third party. When a client has to be examined by a physician for insurance purposes, I send him to Dr. Mayhood. That's all. Dr. Mayhood sends me a Christmas card every year. I sent James Lansing to him.
Just like any other?
Just like any other.
Oh, you worry me, Mr. Franks. You don't object to my questions or get ruffled when you're caught lying. I've given you time to think and time to make a statement regarding your part in this matter.
I resent all this, Mr. Dollar. I've been an insurance broker for a good long time, and no one has ever questioned my integrity.
And I think that's what you've been banking on, Mr. Franks, your reputation. Well, I've been questioning it ever since I got here, and I still question it. You couldn't have known James Lansing without being aware of his drinking habits. I'm sorry for you, Franks, but there had to be collusion here with a beneficiary, Mrs. Kennedy. And you're the logical party.
Dollar...
You arranged for someone else to take that examination for Lansing, somebody who could pass it. I've given you a chance to talk to me, but you refuse. Now we'll see how you like talking to the police about it.
What?
I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest.
Dollar,
I'm going to charge you with attempted fraud and collusion. And I'm going to swear out a warrant for Mrs. Kennedy, too. You're going to jail.
Oh! Oh!
In the 3 minutes it took me to recover from the blow from the paperweight and get my breath inside of me and my feet under me, Hillary Franks was well out of the way and out of sight. About that time, Jim Carter walked in.
Hey, what happened to you?
Hillary Franks. He got scared, swung a paperweight at me, and beat it.
Well, if he's playing rough, I don't want to take any chances.
No, put that phone down. He hasn't admitted anything yet.
Smacking you on the side of the head is admittance enough for me.
No, I want a statement. I think I can get one.
You have to find him first, and he's running.
He won't run far, Jim.
What makes you so sure?
Hillary Franks doesn't know how to run.
was exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon then. At 3:25, I was back out in Catalina Vista knocking on a familiar door. And the same familiar things began to happen all over again.
What do you want?
I'm here to tell you about the trouble you're in, Mrs. Kennedy. Hillary Franks gave it all away.
Gave what away? Who's Hillary Franks? What are you talking about?
About that insurance policy that was written up and issued in your brother's name. You're the one who stood to gain most by your brother's death after having someone else take an insurance examination for him. But you had to have help to pull it off. Hillary Franks helped you. For what reason or how you got him to do it, I don't know. But I do know a man with a 17-year record as insurance broker is ruined.
You're crazy. I don't know anybody named Hillary Franks. Now get out of
here. Oh, stop it, will you? I told him how he stood in this matter a half hour ago, and he socked me with a paperweight and beat it.
I've had about enough
of
you.
But he isn't going to run far. Principally because he doesn't know how to run, Mrs. Kennedy. He'll cool off, and he'll begin thinking about all this business in a new light. A few minutes ago, it dawned on him what he'd done. He kicked his whole lifetime right out the window. He'd been found out. He's lost all around. And he's going to be mad about that. And you're the one he's going to be mad at because you got him into it.
I told you, I don't know anybody named Hillary Franks. That's the last time I'll say it.
He'll probably want to kid you, Mrs. Kennedy.
What?
I said he'll think about all this and he'll probably want to kill you. Do we talk now?
I don't see why. I've done nothing wrong.
Who did you get to take that physical for your brother?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You got your brother drunk enough to sign the insurance papers, didn't you?
I had nothing to do with my brother taking out life insurance and naming me his beneficiary. That was his business. Now that he's dead, it's my position to receive the payment. That's all.
Okay, Mrs. Kennedy. We'll get it all from Hillary Franks.
Yes, why don't you do that?
In the meantime, I hope you sleep well, knowing what you've done.
You'll never be able to prove any of these things you're saying. Never.
And for 24 hours, it looked as if Mrs. Kennedy might have been right. There was no way to involve her unless we had a statement from Hillary Franks. And he was still missing. I set up a watch on Mrs. Kennedy's house, and Jim Carter kept an eye on Hillary Franks' place. About 10 o'clock that night, Jim Carter drove up.
Hiya.
Hi.
Any action?
No. Mrs. Kennedy's been in all the night. No one showed up.
Mm-hmm.
How about Frank's place?
No. No one there when I left an hour ago.
You'd think he'd come back for a suitcase or some money or something.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
I called in the police.
Oh.
In the name of Worldwide, I filed charges of attempted fraud and collusion against him. They issued a warrant a half an hour ago. He's on an APB and all the local bulletins.
Well, I suppose you had to do it, Jim.
Yeah, we'll let the police handle this part from now on, huh?
How about Mrs. Kennedy?
We'll keep an eye on her, too.
Did you file any charges against her?
Not yet. We need a statement from Franks.
Jim.
Yeah?
What would you do if you were Hillary Franks?
Try to grab an airplane. Maybe go down to Nogales, cross the border. Look up a friend, borrow some money. Get out and keep traveling. What?
He won't do anything like that.
Won't he?
He'll find himself a place to sit down and think. In the end, the cops won't find him. He'll find us.
Want a bet?
By the next morning, the police had still been unable to locate Hillary Franks. I left Jim Carter in the room on a long-distance call to the insurance commission, advising them of the events up to date, drove out to Hillary Franks' office. I noticed two police officers loitering across the street as I walked in the front door.
Yes?
How do you do?
Are you another policeman?
No, I'm not. Have they been bothering you a lot?
If you aren't a policeman and you know all about this, what do you want?
I want to help Mr. Franks if I can. I'm Johnny Dollar, Universal Adjustment Bureau. You're his secretary?
Yes.
How long have you worked for him?
12 years.
Do you like him?
What? He's always been a fine man. I don't believe any of these things about him, and I don't see
what's
why...
What's your name? I think he said Maria?
Maria Vano.
Maria, I'm not going to ask you any questions about Mr. Franks. I know enough about him now for my purposes.
The rest he can tell me himself. Maria, I may be able to help him stay out of jail. I can do that if I talk to him.
Well, how do
My
I...
name's Johnny Dollar. I'm at the Pioneer Hotel. Remember that.
But Mr. Dollar...
I don't know whether he's phoned you yet or not. A man like that's going to need help, money. I'm not asking you if he's contacted you. But listen to me carefully. If he does phone you or contact you in any way, ask him to phone me. If you ever respected him, or if you want to help him now, please ask him to telephone me. Thanks. I drove back to the hotel and waited for results. Another 12 hours went by. Hillary Franks was still missing, and Mrs. Kennedy was still refusing to admit anything. Finally, about 11 o'clock that night, my phone rang. Johnny Dollar. Hello.
This is Hillary Franks.
Where are you?
Never mind. Dollar, they know all about me back at the home office, I suppose.
Yes.
I'd like to explain some things to you so you can pass them on. I'd like the people back there to know why I did it. Well, before I leave town...
You won't get far. The police are looking for you.
Oh, I can get away, all right.
Mr. Franks, Worldwide doesn't want to prosecute. The notoriety would be bad for them. If you'd make a statement, sign it, I think I could talk them into dropping the whole matter.
Maybe we'd better get together.
Come on over.
Oh, no. No, I'm not that crazy. Do you know how to get to the San Javier Mission?
I can find it.
In 15 minutes?
Right.
And Dollar?
Yeah?
It's right out in the open. If you bring the police, I'll use a gun. I bought one this morning.
All right, Mr. Franks.
There'll be another intriguing episode of the Lansing Fraud tomorrow.
Tomorrow, $50,000 worth of murder. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, this situation has definitely gotten out of control. It's amazing to listen to this go downhill. And this one definitely has much more business-like feel to it. I think particularly through to part three. And, really focusing on the business end of this whole fraud issue. I don't remember for sure exactly how this ends. There are a couple, one of them, and I may have the plots mixed up in my mind, but I have a feeling this is definitely not heading to end well, and I don't think that's much of a spoiler. But we'll find out how it does end on Friday. Join us for the final part of the Lansing Fraud Matter. And tomorrow, our second-to-last Sherlock Holmes podcast. Be sure and listen to that. You can follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.